the book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, July 15th, 2015, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldwideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is Verge of Collapse. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you've yet to do. We ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit go out around the world today, carrying the word that you have prepared for the ears of your people to hear, both those that are saved and those that are coming in, Lord, in this last hour at 11:59 and split seconds away from the return, the imminent return of your one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ, the only Savior of all mankind, that is, of all mankind who will call upon him. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we begin today's broadcast, I would first like to share with you just why I, as well as one of my favorite writers, who is none other than Michael Snyder of The Economic Collapse, believe that the Greek crisis is far from over. In the striking up of this so-called Greek debt deal, of which is outlined in a short article by none other than Mr. Snyder himself, titled Three Big Reasons Why the Greek Debt Deal is Really a German Trap, posted by Mr. Snyder, Monday, July 13th, 2015, of which begins thusly, Greece is saved. All over the planet, news headlines are boldly proclaiming a deal has been reached which will give Greece the money that it needs and to keep it in the Eurozone. But, Mr. Snyder says, as you will see below, this is not true at all. He continues by saying, yesterday, when I wrote that there never was going to be any deal, I was not exaggerating. This deal was not drafted with the intention of saving Greece. As I explained in my previous article, says Mr. Snyder, these negotiations were all about setting up Greece for eviction from the euro. You see, the truth is that Greece desperately wants to stay in the euro, but Germany and allies such as Finland want Greece out. Since Germany can't simply order Greece to leave the euro, they need some sort of legal framework which will make it possible. And that is what this deal provides. As I am about to explain, says Mr. Schneider, there are all kinds of conditions that must be satisfied and hurdles that must be crossed before Greece can ever see a single penny. If there is a single hiccup along the way, and this is what the Germans are counting on, Greece will be ejected from the Eurozone. This deal has been designed to fail, so that the Germans can get what they have wanted all along. I think that three very famous words from Admiral Akbar, who, my friends, is a fictional character from the Star Wars saga, Mr. Schneider says, sum up the situation very well. It's a trap. So why is this Greek debt deal really a German trap? The following are three big reasons, of which number one is the deal is designed to be rejected by the Greek parliament. If Germany really wanted to save Greece, they would have already done so. Instead, now they have forced Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras to agree to much, much harsher austerity terms than the Greek voters overwhelmingly rejected during the recent referendum by a vote of 61% to 39%. Tsipras has only been given until Wednesday. That would be today, my friends, July 15th, 2015, to pass a whole bunch of new laws and another week to make another series of major economic changes. The following comes from CNN, says Mr. Schneider. Greece has to swiftly pass a series of new laws. Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras has until Wednesday to convince Parliament to pass the first few, including, get this, pension cuts and higher taxes. Assuming that happens, Greece or the Greek lawmakers have another week until July 22nd to enact another batch of economic changes. These include adopting European Union rules on how to manage banks in crisis and do a major overhaul to make Greece's civil courts faster and more effective. If they're anything like ours, that will never happen in a week. Can Tsipras actually get all of this done in such a short amount of time? The Germans are hoping that he can't. And really, already, two of Syriza's coalition partners have publicly declared that they have no intention on voting in favor of this deal. Mr. Schneider then states, the following is from a Bloomberg report. Discontent brewed as Tsipras arrived back in the Greek capital, left platform a fraction within the Syriza party, and his coalition parties, partners, the Independent Greeks Party, both signaled they won't be able to support the deal. That opposition alone would wipe out Tsipras's 12-seat majority in parliament, forcing him to rely on opposition votes to carry the day. The terms of the deal, says the Bloomberg report, are not extremely draconian because the Germans want to destroy Greek sovereignty, as most are suggesting. Rather, they are designed to provoke an overwhelmingly negative reaction in Greece so that the Greeks will willingly choose to reject the deal and thus be booted out of the euro. And that is what we are seeing. So far, says the Bloomberg report, the response of the Greek public towards this deal has been overwhelmingly negative. Harald Ambros Roulaskas, a 60-year-old economist who was out walking in Athens, described the deal as misery, humiliation, and slavery. Katrina Kasabas, a 52-year-old working in a pharmaceutical company, said, I am not in favor of this deal. I know that they, the Eurozone creditors, are trying to blackmail us. On Wednesday, the Union for Greek Public Workers has even called for a 24-hour strike to protest this agreement. Greece's public workers are being called to stage a 24-hour strike on Wednesday, the day their country's parliament is to vote on the reforms needed to unlock the bankster's Eurozone plan, agreed to by Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. Their union additionally called for the stoppage in a statement today, saying it was against the agreement reached with the Eurozone. The Greek government is not guaranteed any money right now. According to Bloomberg, the Greek government must pass all the laws being imposed upon it, imposed upon them by the EU, before Greece can even begin negotiations with creditors to access a third international bailout in 5 years. The Germans and their allies are actually hoping that there is a huge backlash in Greece and that Tsipras fails to get this package pushed through the Greek parliament. If that happens, Greece gets ejected from the euro, and Germany doesn't look like the bad guy. Point number two. Even if the deal miraculously gets through the Greek parliament, says Mr. Schneider, it may not survive other European parliaments. The Greek parliament is not the only legislative body that must approve the new deal. The German and Finnish parliaments, among others, must also approve it. According to USA Today, it is being projected that the German and Finnish parliaments will probably vote on this new deal on Thursday or Friday, July 16th and 17th. Eurozone parliaments must also agree to the plan for Greece's 95, here it says, but it's $96 billion bailout. The biggest test may come from Finland and Germany, two nations especially critical of Greece's handling of the crisis. Berlin has contributed the most to Greece's loans. Either Germany or Finland could kill the entire deal with one single no vote. Finnish financial minister Alexander Stubb had already stated that Finland cannot agree with a new bailout for Greece, and it is highly questionable whether or not the German parliament will give it its approval. I think that the Germans and their allies would much prefer for the Greeks to reject the deal and walk away. But it may come down to one of these parliaments drawing the line in the sand. Point number three, the deal makes implementation extraordinarily difficult, says Mr. Schneider, who continues by stating that if Greece fails to live up to each and every one of the extremely draconian measures demanded in the deal, they will be booted from the Eurozone. And if you take a look, he says, at what's being demanded of them, it is extremely unrealistic. Mr. Schneider says, here's just one example. For instance, the Greek government has agreed to transfer 50 billion euros worth of Greek assets to an independent fund that will raise money from privatization. According to the document, 25 billion euros from the fund will be poured into the banks. 12.5 billion will be used to pay off debt, and the remaining 12.5 billion to boost the economy through investment. The fund will be based in Greece and run by the Greeks, but with supervision from European authorities. Mr. Schneider then asks a very relevant question, which is, where in the world is the Greek government going to get 50 billion euros worth of asset at this point? The Greek government is flat broke and the banks are insolvent. But if they did find 50 billion euros worth of assets, they have violated the agreement. But if they don't find 50 billion euros euros worth of assets. They have violated the agreement, and they will get booted. This whole thing is about setting up Greece for failure. You know, my friends, that's exactly what I said before he wrote it. So I'm glad to see that the Lord is still on the throne. So that it says there is a legal excuse to boot them out of the euro. And Mr. Schneider says it actually almost happened very early on Monday morning. The following, he says, comes from Business Insider. As the FT tells it, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras rose from their chairs at 6 a.m. on Monday morning, July 13, 2015, and headed for the door, resigned to a Greek exit from the euro. Sorry, but there is no way you are leaving this room, European Council President Donald Tusk reportedly said. And so, a Grexit was avoided. For the moment, Greece has supposedly been saved. But anyone that believes that this crisis is over, says Mr. Schneider, is just being delusional, which I happen to agree with. The Germans and their allies have successfully lured the Greek government into a trap. Thanks to Tsipras, they have been handed a legal framework for getting rid of Greece. All they have to do now is wait for just the right moment to spring the trap. And it might just happen a lot sooner than a lot of people may think, says Mr. Schneider. And on that alarming note, only time will tell, my friends. Only time will tell. I'll be right back after the break to fill you in on other pressing news that will make for some very interesting food for spiritual thought.
Shall stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord.
The power of darkness comes in like a flood.
The standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord.
friends, a little vintage 1988 Petra, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." And you're going to need to remember that in the days that are just about upon us. And with that said, my friends, last Saturday evening, listen up, my friends, last Saturday evening, July 11th, 2015, after the end of a very hectic few days of all kinds of computer problems, the hearing of the computer glitches that took place last Wednesday, July 8th, 2015, involving the simultaneous hacking of the U.S. stock market, the Wall Street Journal, United Airlines, and the receiving of a text message Saturday evening from my dear friend Sharon, of which read, quote, "For some reason, the text messages I sent you last night were not deliverable." Upon reading that text, my friends, the Lord began to stir within my spirit thoughts of Jade Helm 15, which, by the way, has been scheduled to begin this very day, July 15th, 2015, and will continue through September 15th, 2015. Although I have as well heard that it may not end until November. There again, my friends, only time will tell. Setting aside for now the extended timeline, let us ponder for a moment a few other things, beginning with the fact that the Lord God on a number of previous shows has warned us to be ready by the end of this summer. In other words, my friends, we are to be prepared both spiritually as well as physically for what lies dead ahead and is slated to progress and play out throughout the remaining days, weeks, and months of this year called 2015, and on into the year of 2016 and beyond for as long as the Lord shall tarry. With that said, this past Saturday evening, of which I would like to point out that the word evening plays two very important roles in and on the Hebrew calendar, which are that it not only signifies the ending of the current day, but at the very same time signifies the beginning of a new day. The Lord began prompting me, my friends, by way of the small, still voice of His Holy Spirit, to consider yet a few more things, such as how, according to a report last Thursday, which stated that hackers had stolen the Social Security card numbers of 21.5 million people in a recent data breach, of which in part read, Washington, Reuters, July 9th, 2015, data breaches at the U.S. government's personnel management agency by hackers with suspicions centering on China involves millions more people than previously estimated, U.S. officials said on Thursday. At the same time, my friends, I as well began to reflect back onto something that I had heard in passing one day last week via cable news, of which the Holy Spirit had me to take mental note of, concerning the very real possibility of a U.S. power grid takedown and cyber attack against our banking and financial systems. Say, sometime during the current Jade Helm 15 Special Ops military drill? What I had heard was someone making a comment concerning the fact that Janet Napolitano, former Department of Homeland Security Secretary, back in 2013, had made some very high-profile comments, of which Off the Grid News, love that name, describes in an article titled Napolitano Warns Down Power Grid is Inevitable Due to Cyber Attack, posted by Tara Dodrill, September 9th, 2013, which stated that a major cyber attack will one day disrupt life as we know it in the United States. So says former Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, who made the comments during her final days in the post. The then Obama administration official stated during a speech that it was a matter of when, not if, the power grid would go down due to a cyber attack. Later in the article, it is said Napolitano spoke at length about the need to prepare for a downed power grid caused by hackers. The vulnerable electrical grid system in the United States is also ill prepared for a direct hit by a solar flare or CME or an EMP attack. As previously reported by Off the Grid News, the power grid achieved a D-plus rating by the American Society of Civil Engineers. The outgoing DHS secretary, speaking in front of the National Press Club, said that, listen up, my friends, quote, our country will at some point face a major cyber event that will have a serious effect on our lives, our economy, and the everyday functioning of our society, Napolitano said. While we have built systems, protections, and framework to identify attacks and intrusions, share information with private sector and across government, and develop plans and capabilities to mitigate the damage, more must be done and quickly. That was in 2013, my friends. Napolitano acknowledged that terrorist threats against the United States have not subsided. You could have fooled me. But she said the federal government and intelligence agencies have become more flexible and nimble at dealing with such dangers. Doesn't sound like the right wording to me, my friends. Little is being done to mitigate the threat of the grid. Once again, moving ahead in the article, she says, an economic collapse and civil unrest would surely follow a downed power grid. Listen up, listen up. Listen up, regardless of the cause for the massive outage. Later in the same article, it is said that the report card from the National Society of Civil Engineers said the number of power outages in the United States had grown from 76 in 2007 to 307 in 2011. The major outage figures do not take into consideration all the smaller outages which routinely occur during the seasonal storms. The American Society of Civil Engineers Power Grid Grade Card rating means the energy infrastructure is in poor to fair condition. Normally you would say fair to poor condition. I think it's interesting how they decided to say it was in poor to fair condition, and mostly below standard, they said, and many elements approaching the end of their service life. The report card said a large portion of the system exhibits significant deterioration with a strong risk of failure. The article ended by stating that concerns about a power grid failure are rarely discussed in mainstream media, continuing to ignore the mounting issues surrounding the viability of the power grid and both the man-made and natural threats. The system could soon face could soon leave millions of Americans in the dark, shuddering, my friends, in the cold, rubbing their empty bellies and thinking about just how important the power grid is, or was, for the very first time. Okay, my friends, here is the reason that I have been prompted to bring you this piece of spiritual food for imminent, vigilant prayer and thought. As I began thinking prophetically about what we might just be getting ready to face, many prospects begin to swirl in my head and spirit as I was prompted by the Spirit of the Lord God. So I decided to find out if there was a possibility of a soon coming false flag event, or the real possibility of another kind of event or attack on the horizon that could potentially result in the taking down of our power grid, banking, financial, and infrastructure systems. As I began to do my research, page after page after page of information passed before my eyes that indicated the real possibility of some kind of an imminent event related to the subject matter just mentioned taking place. Take, for instance, this headline posted on the alternative news site called Planet X. That's why it's called an alternative news site, my friends. That said, Illuminati 2015, Shemitah, Power Grid, Jade Helm 15, Cyber 9/11, Economic Collapse 9/14/2015, all of which was posted, my friends, the very day that the Lord began to prompt me about the potential of a cyber and power grid attack. The headline was accompanied by a video that laid out the need for concern for each of these things mentioned in the headline, of which once again was Illuminati 2015, Shemitah, Power Grid, Jade Helm 15, Cyber 9/11, Economic Collapse, and 9/14/2015. The small notice posted for this video had this to say: 2015 is the year of light. More on that in just a moment, my friends. And according to the Harbinger, says the writer, we are close to another big event. Is that event a power grid collapse resulting in an American blackout that will have negative effects on Wall Street? If so, when? 9/14/2015? And how long will the power outage last? Is Jade Helm preparation for such an event, as well as the GridX exercise back in 2011 and 2013. The writer goes on to say, will we see a cyber bailout? Next big bailout for U.S. banks could be forced by cyber attack. My friends, the statement just made by the writer was exactly what the Lord God had wanted me to seek out and find when he began to speak to me by way of the small, still voice of his Holy Spirit on Saturday evening, the end of the current day and the beginning of a new day, July 11th, 2015. Highlights presented in the video are as followed. First, Jonathan Kahn explains the biblical Shemitah and what it represents. The word Shemitah means release, fall, collapse, or shaking. Kahn also speaks of how the Shemitah has, is, and will affect each and every one of our lives and has since the day we were born, whether we know it or like it at all, my friends. Kahn also states that if the Shemitah speaks of great release and blessing for the people and nation who follow God, As the rise of a tower speaks of the rise of a nation, the Shemitah as well speaks of a great fall and judgment for the people and nation who do not follow God. Just as the fall of a tower speaks of the fall of a nation, and in the current case, my friends, the Shemitah, Rabbi Pastor Kahn says, is speaking prophetic warning of America's future, which I totally agree with. Because as it is, my friends, the Lord already told me that the mandate for 2015, he told me this last October in 2014, that the mandate for 2015 is the year of judgment. And that is from the mouth of God to the ears of man. Next, the video creator exposes an Illuminati message that was openly given via satanic means through the use of numerology and number compression at the National Press Club luncheon, January 15, 2014. As delivered by the mouth of the managing director of the IMF, of whom is Ms. Christine Lagarde. Of which, for all intents and purposes, I have condensed to get right to the meat of the matter, which is that the occulted or hidden message she delivered that day, listen, my friends, which was exposed by the video creator, informs us of a future day, month, and year in advance that was, and still at this point is, to occur forward in time, from January 15th, 2014. The day, month, and year that part of the sinister, dark-veiled message produces when decoded is 9/14/2015. Along with the phrase that she used, quote, "We left the deep freeze behind us," of which the video creator thinks might as well be part of the veiled message. When the record-breaking cold temperatures between December of 2013 through April of 2014 are as well taken into consideration, of which included the freezing over, my friends, of Niagara Falls twice in the year 2014, once on January 9th, 2014, and then again in early March of 2014. The creator of the video deciphers another phrase which Ms. Lagarde interjects into her world economic speech, which is, quote, "The horizon looks just a bit brighter." You must remember that this occult or hidden message is being projected by Ms. Lagarde to inform those behind the scenes of what is to come in the upcoming year of 2015. My friends, there is nothing new under the sun, as the word of the Lord God states, or about occult practices. They are age old. My friends, it is a union between Satan and his evil and sinful servants, better known as the godless and ungodly human beings of planet Earth. But never fear, for the one and only true and living God, who is the creator of all people and beings, in regards to Satan and his crew, knows the end from the beginning, and is able to, at any time of his choosing, to expose the darkness going on in the crew of Satan. The Lord God, by way of his faithful servants, as they are given wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and utterance that only comes from the throne, or in other words, power of God, by way of the working and anointing of his Holy Spirit. With that said, my friends, let us continue the revealing of this dark parable, of which the video creator then makes known to us the meaning of the phrase that Ms. Lagarde shared with her cronies, of which there again was, "And the horizon looks a bit brighter." which was possibly in reference to the fact that the coming year of 2015, by way of the United Nations standard, was to be and is now the International Year of Light and Light-Based Technology. That aims was and is to raise awareness of the achievement of light science and its importance to humankind. Nice year for a grid takedown, wouldn't you think? What is really interesting and mind-blowing at the same time about this is that the UN General Assembly on December 20th, 2013, not 2014 when she's delivering the speech, but in 2013, proclaimed that 2015 would be the year of international light and light-based technologies, according to the website for this UN-themed year. The video creator then discovers that it appears that Miss LeGrade's veiled reference to the biblical account concerning Joseph in Egypt and the seven fat years and the seven skinny years, of which are outlined in the very Word of God, is as well a veiled reference to the seven-year cycle, of which is better known as the Shemitah. Next, in the deciphering of Miss LeGrade's dark cryptic veiled message, the video creator reminds the viewer of a grid security exercise, grid security conference that took place called GridX2 and GridSecom update, which took place on November 13th and 14th in 2013, 2 years ago, my friends. From there, the video creator inserts a clip of Janet Napolitano discussing just what a so-called cyber 9/11 would look like. The video creator then asks the question, was the GridX exercise a preparation for an attack on the power grid? They then add, remember, 2015 is the year of light. Moving forward, the video creator reminds us that between July 15th and September 15th, 2015, the military is conducting an exercise called Jade Helm 15. And, my friends, I have heard that they're going to be conducting a grid exercise while they're in the midst of that. Now we know that from a 9/11 to the shootings in South Carolina, there's always this exercise going on of exactly the same thing that's really happening in real life while the thing in real life is going on. Next, a video clip of Fox News cable news talking about the then soon coming and now here as of today, July 15th, 2015, Jade Helm 15 exercise, and then gives a rendering as to what the exercise entails, which states that Jade Helm is a realistic military training exercise involving elite branches of the U.S. military and will be conducted throughout seven states in the Southwest. The drill is scheduled to begin in July of 2015 and last for 8 weeks. The troops are to operate undetected among the American civilian population. That's interesting. The video creator next shows a clip of the news broadcast and other footages that outline some of the mass land and air military exercises taking place around the U.S., including the roundup of civilian captives played by actors, my friends, of their choosing for processing, and the mass movement of military equipment, which has as well been bombarding the small towns and cities all across America since March of 2015. Last but in no way least, the video maker informs the viewer of the soon coming visit on September 23rd and 24th of 2015 of Pope Francis, who is coming to the U.S. by way of invitation from the Speaker of the House to address Congress, of which I might add, my friends, is something that has never been entertained in the history of America. Now, after all of this very educating information, here is the takeaway, according to the video maker, as to what scenario they feel that the Lord may be laying out. The power grid could go down on Monday, September 14th, 2015, a day before the end of Jade Helm and a day after the Shemitah ends on September 13th, 2015, which would as well lead to a closure of Wall Street. The power outage may last 7 days. Coming back on September 21st, 2015, Wall Street would reopen on Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015, which could lead to a 7 to 25% drop. Pope Francis will give his speech on the 23rd or 24th of September, 2015. The video maker ends by saying, "Where we go from there, only God knows." In conclusion, the writer of this post says, best-selling author Jonathan Kahn says, you better get ready for a great shaking. Kahn, whose new book titled Mystery of the Shemitah, says, the Bible says a prudent man prepares. When Rabbi and Pastor Jonathan Kahn was asked, what do you do? Kahn replied, I am not a financial expert, but I will speak for myself. In general, I would not be putting my stock in the stock market or have things attached to it. You should also have essentials in store. So if there is a collapse of not only markets, but of infrastructure and services, and these things should break down, that you would be okay for this time period. Kahn as well says, I am not a survivalist. I am more of a revivalist. He says things are always working perfectly. And he said, I don't believe things will always work perfectly. I believe we are at the verge of collapse. Finally, the writer shares with Pastor and Rabbi Jonathan Kahn what he had to say when asked this question, how do you get ready for this collapse? Kahn, who is a Christian minister, says the first thing is, if you are listening to this and you are not right with God, get your life right, because America is rapidly accelerating into a moral and spiritual collapse. My friends, the story of Joseph in Egypt, found in Genesis chapter 40 and 41, of which was mentioned in a veiled sense of the word by Miss LeGrade in her speech, is a fine example of the hour that we now find ourselves living in. Because the account of Joseph, who was the 11th son of Jacob, and is the same of whom was blessed by the Lord God with the gift of interpretation, was able and allowed by the Lord to interpret Pharaoh's dream concerning the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. When Joseph gave Pharaoh the meaning of the dream, Joseph tells Pharaoh that, quote, it is a warning from God as to what he is just about to do in the land of Egypt. My friends, metaphorically speaking, when you see the word Egypt in the Bible, it can be replaced with the word sin. God also was giving Pharaoh a message of warning as to what he is just about to do in the land of sin, which encompasses the entire world that we live in. As Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, we are entering the 11th hour. The meaning of the 11th hour is to say that we have now entered into the latest possible time before it is too late to prepare for the soon coming events that are slated for America, as well as the world at large, and for those who do not at this moment walk in a personal relationship or walk in one that is in good standing or right standing with the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, that is, of all mankind who will call upon his name and who is none other than Jesus Christ. My friends, you have to call upon him in repentance to make the necessary changes in your life so that it is as to secure and assure that your reservation for eternal life is confirmed. With that said, my friends, in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, Jesus reminds us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. No, that comes later, my friends. But that the world through him, who is Jesus Christ, and what he did upon the cross of Calvary, might be saved. The reason it says might be saved, because it's your choice. God gave you a free will. You can either walk with the Lord Jesus Christ on the streets of gold for all eternity, or you can burn with the sinners and Satan, his false prophet, and Antichrist in the lake of fire for all eternity. The choice is purely up to you. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him, who is Jesus Christ, is not condemned. That is very self-explanatory, my friends. And here's the other side of the coin. But he that believeth not in Jesus Christ, that is, my friends, is condemned already, says the Lord God. So when people tell you you're not saved, don't go off on them, because it's the word of God. They're trying to help you. For one day, soon, it will be too late if you don't change. It says, because, my friends, it says in verse 18, once again, it says, he that believeth on him, who is Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not in Jesus Christ is condemned already, according to the word of God, because, and here's the reason why, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, my friends, as I always say, you know he's not talking about Allah, because Allah has no son, and they make sure you know it. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 33, John himself informs us that he that has received his testimony, the testimony of Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent, meaning Jesus Christ, speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He's fully man, he's fully God, my friends, Jesus Christ. He's full of the Spirit of God because he is the Spirit of God in the Spirit. The man was flesh, but the Spirit was God. He was embodied in a flesh. You get it? The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son, says the Word of God, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, Paul compels us to be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. My friends, this is the word of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness, but now Are ye light? In the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness, but rather reprove them. Expose them is what it means, my friends. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead in your spirit, my friends, and Christ shall give thee light, which is eternal life, my friends, is what it's really speaking about. See that ye walk circumspectly, carefully, in other words, my friends, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. My friends, that is the very reason that the Lord God so many years ago gave me the phrase to share with the world, which is that we are to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for ourselves. My friends, many things are to come soon and very soon. We don't have all the pieces. That's why we need to put our whole trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the end, my friends, as they used to say, at the end of the day, you will want to be walking the streets of gold with the Lord Jesus Christ and not burning in the lake of fire, which the Bible clearly outlines will be the case if you do not have a personal relationship with the one and only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ. My friends, you must walk the walk and talk the talk, because if you just say that you do, guess what? God's not buying it. And you'll still find yourself at that same great white throne judgment day of God with those who are cast off into the lake of fire. Because you can fool man, but you cannot fool God. My friends, there are many dark days coming. We are at the end of time as we know it. We're not at the end of the world. And I am not a date setter, so I don't know exactly when the Lord will appear in the rapture, because we're not at the end of the world. There's still a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ to be had on this earth, but it will only be for those who the Lord God chooses to bring forward into that time. And my friends, it won't be any of us who are hearing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to heaven. Because our role at the time of the 1,000-year reign will be to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in our glorified bodies, because we will have already gone in the rapture, which is the next thing, my friends, majorly to take place at the choosing of the Lord. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed and forever be with the Lord. If you're ready, watching, waiting, and serving the Lord in the way that he requires and expects. My friends, you don't get something for nothing. Okay? So if you're not serving the Lord, then you're not going to get eternal life. That's just plain and simple. And with that said, let us pray, because there's a lot to pray about, my friends. We need to each in our own prayer time pray about what's coming upon this world. But right now, let's pray for that salvation that you are in dire need of, or that rededication in your life, that you get back on the straight and narrow path with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because my friends, if you're not there when he comes, you will be as the five foolish virgins that were not ready, and they are left behind. And the Lord ends up telling them, depart from me, for I know you not. My friends, let us pray. If you need to know the Lord as your personal Savior today and you want to lay down this life and this world and you want to begin to walk in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, then say this prayer with me. It's not about me and it's not about this prayer. It's about what God sees in your heart as you do it. With that said, let us pray. Father God, I humbly come before your throne this day and bow down. Lord God, I thank you for the gift of your one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins and that you would wash me clean as bright as the new-driven snow by the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, I know that you're faithful and true to do that which you've said. And I know that at the asking sincerely from a broken and contrite heart and spirit, that this day I am now your child and I will begin to know your word, know it well, and know it correctly for myself. As Holy Spirit, you lead me and guide me into all truth and righteousness and bring all things to my remembrance. I will be ready, watching, and waiting for you in your imminent return, Jesus, my Lord, Savior, Master, and King, and soon coming Messiah. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. My friends, it's a wrap. Thank you once again for tuning in today for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast here on StarWorldWideNetworks.com. Folks, don't forget to visit StreamsAZ.org daily on the website for updates on prophetic news from around the world. And stay connected with me via social media and Twitter by visiting the Streams in the Desert Live landing page at StarWorldWideNetworks.com/Streams in the Desert. This is Pastor Dana saying shalom and blessings to you all in the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, my Lord, Master, Savior, soon coming King and Messiah, yours too, I hope. Until we meet again next Wednesday at 3:55 p.m. for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet radio broadcast. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Until we meet again, shalom, shalom.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on DoubleWideNetwork.com, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily located on the DoubleWideNetwork.com Streams in the Desert Live landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?